And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the microphone a real researcher and journalist, a professional who's been at it a long time. He's world famous. His name is Greg Palast, and he hasn't been on this program. What's it been? 15 years, Greg? I don't know.
No, I'm only 16 years old, so that's impossible.
Right.
I don't know. That can't be.
I know. It doesn't seem possible at all. But it's been a while.
Okay.
Geez, a lot of things have happened. It's just flat crazy out there. And Greg is not necessarily on the same side of the fence I am all the time, and that doesn't mean we aren't friends and respect each other's work. He's got a new film out, which is up on his website. Click on his name. You can go there. It's gregpalast.com. Now, are you still writing for the BBC at all? You were connected.
I'm writing now for Rolling Stone, and so I write for Rolling Stone and some for The Guardian, and so Rolling Stone, my main thing in the film is, and making films, like this film is the best democracy money can buy, that based on my bestseller, and it's a film about how Trump will steal the election that was released in September, but that didn't happen, did it?
How do you lie? I don't know. I have trouble sometimes getting up and figuring this whole thing out. It's really crazy. How do you like making films? You're a writer.
Actually, it's fun because you're writing with pictures. And if you look at my film, it's one of the so-called documentaries, which is we're in the documentary category for the Academy Award, but.
Uh-huh,
We have Willie Nelson there playing a stoner musician, believe it or not. Rosario Dawson and Ice-T and Richard Belzer, who are detectives from their Law & Order show, popping out of the television when I pass out at a bar. And then we have
Out at a bar?
Yeah, well, I'm watching Law & Order because I'm stumped. I don't know what to do next. I pass out. Ice-T and Detective Munch jump out of the TV and tell me where to go next. And then I really do old fashioned undercover investigative reporting, which you see in the film. People know me, I wear a fedora, and in one of them, I actually have a camera sewn into the brim.
Like a little GoPro camera thing, a video?
Yeah, a little than that. Into a darker hat, and then I go and work my way into a billionaire's beach soiree in the Hamptons.
Really?
And confront some of the billionaires who have now purchased their government. And they've always owned our government, different packs of billionaires, depending on the party, sometimes the same. But this one is truly, I mean, the subtitle of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy is called A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. So it's all about the impending and now on the verge of the coup d'etat by billionaires.
How do we figure this whole... You got first the CIA, Brennan, claiming that the Russians hacked. The DNC hack was a Russian hack. The defense...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Ask
you a question.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? I mean, first of all, the Ruskies doing it. Okay, we're back to Cold War. But what are they accusing the Russians of doing? They said that they hacked John Podesta's email, Hillary's campaign manager, second-rate campaign manager.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, how did that change the election? They found a few cutesy things like one of Hillary's assistants said she doesn't know how to talk to common people. Well, duh, we see that on television. She doesn't know how to talk like a human being, okay?
Yeah.
The Russians haven't revealed some dark secret. I mean, do they really feel, with all this Russia, and Russian spy, that hacking John Podesta's email changed the outcome of the election? Or even, they hacked the DNC, whoever hacked it, and I guess it's, what's his name, Claude Murray. There's a guy who said, I did it, and gave the stuff to WikiLeaks. And no one
the former British ambassador, Craig Murray.
He said he got
the stuff from an American, a disaffected American whistleblower who got the stuff, and that's where he says
it came from. Of course, a Bernie bro stuck a thumb drive you know, was working at the DNC, didn't like what he saw. And what did we find out? That the Democratic National Committee was conspiring with Hillary to shaft Bernie Sanders.
Big shock.
We are shocked.
Yeah.
And you know, that changed everyone's vote. I think it did change a few votes, because I think a lot of students who backed Sanders said, I thought so. So middle mm-hmm. finger to you. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a big reason why the vote dropped off massively in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin. A lot of it, in Madison, they required all these crazy IDs for students to vote and proof of their residence, all this crap. But if they had a candidate that the students were excited about, like Obama or Sanders, they would have done the trick. My daughter spent 3 months getting the right to vote in Georgia, where she's in school, and
three
you know
months.
They do make it difficult.
Wow.
But she wasn't going to let them take away her vote.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you know the students in Madison was like, who cares? But I don't think you know. So this whole they're not saying that the Russians got into the actual voting machines.
No.
So what are they talking about? It's like nonsense. Yeah. Anyway, if you see my film, you see how Trump, he did steal it. I'm sorry. Grand theft larceny, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio, and Arizona are crime scenes. Okay?
That requires a pretty big organization, doesn't it? To do
and
that.
It has the biggest. They don't need the ex-KGB agents to pull this off. They need a guy named Chris Kobach. Okay, in my film, you meet a guy, Chris Kobach. Do you know who Chris Kobach is? He's the character who told Trump to build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. He wrote the Driving While Brown law that was found racist and unconstitutional and called SB 1070 in Arizona, where they were profiling, you know, brown people, stopping them, say, show your citizenship papers like in the old Nazi films, you know.
Yeah.
And he's also the guy who came up with this thing called Interstate Crosscheck. It knocked off, and this is my Rolling Stone article, and the film is about the investigation due under Rolling Stone, it knocked off 1.1 million people off the voter rolls.
Wow.
1.1 million people. Most of them, you know, black voters, Latinos, and that new group of dangerous voters who now used to be Republicans, now they vote like they've turned black, they're all Democrats, is Asian Americans. And and they went after these voters because Trump said the election's rigged, I was one of the only people that seemed to pay attention to the second part of his statement. He says the election's rigged because people are voting many, many times. He was claiming with Chris Kobach, who is also the Secretary of State of Kansas, that means he's in charge of voting.
He was one of the primaries in running for Secretary of State.
I think he's more in line to be head of Homeland Security.
Yeah, well, he had a special meeting with
Trump.
Oh, that's right. I beg your pardon.
He's the guy
with
the memo that he was flashing to everyone.
Absolutely uncovered sheaf of papers he was holding that people were able to zoom in on. Yeah, of course. And very, very stringent immigration policy.
Yeah, like one of the things he wanted to do is change the voter register. He wanted to change the National Voter Registration Act is one of the things that was on there.
Yeah, Chris Kobach, that's right. Now, so you think he's headed to DHS?
Well, no, he isn't. He's not going to get that. Who knows what he'll get?
I mean, but in a secondary position or something. But no.
Well, I think he wants to be governor of Kansas. So you know, he's not. You know, he's setting himself up for something big time. I don't know what he has in mind. But in the film, you see, I jump him. But here's what he did. He said, "Okay." He said that people are voting in two states in the same election. That Obama only won because people voted in, you know, they voted in Alabama, and they voted, the same guy then voted in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that because, and I'm not making this up, there are 288 guys named James Brown, and they said that they voted in other states illegally. You go to jail for 5 years, by the way, if you voted twice and get caught, which is easy. Like he says, it's easy to catch them because you get their address and everything.
Uh-huh.
They know that these guys named James Brown voted twice because, believe it or not, they found and from Georgia, because they found a guy in Michigan named James Brown. They found a guy in Virginia named James Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm not making that up. That's it. First and last name match. That is it, 100%. That's all they did. And I got the list because, see, they try to hide the list from me. Hmm. If you know, for those listening, this is Greg Palast. I'm an investigative reporter. What that means is that when you say something is confidential and I can't see it, I go get it. Took 5 months. And you'll see the list in the film. You know, the film has a lot of humor because it's so crazy.
Well, you're a funny person anyway when it comes to looking at things. You got to kind of quick-witted way of...
I try to make my films as entertaining, my book as entertaining as possible.
That's the best way to pull in an audience and have them pay attention.
And, you know, because, you know, otherwise it's those PBS documentaries, white guys in front of bookshelves and professor this or that. And it's like nonsense. So you actually follow me on my investigations. And there's a lot of cartoons. Like, I hired the guy who drew Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So we have animations throughout.
Oh, fun. Fun.
Yeah,
all right, this is
fun.
A Greg Palast movie, the best documentary, best democracy. No, it's the best documentary on this subject.
It is the best democracy. It is the best now you got me doing it. You've broken my tongue.
The best democracy money can buy. And go look at the trailer. It's up there. Go take a look. And you can get to see the video. You can get a signed copy by Greg if you want, but it's a very interesting thing. Now, you say
cheap thing. I mean, I'd love your donations, all that, if you want to get a signed disc and all that, but if you want to stream it from Amazon, it's like a couple bucks.
And Vimeo, too, right? Yeah.
Vimeo, too. It's probably a little better quality, but I try to make it entertaining, so I also have Rosario Dawson in there. That can't hurt. And Shailene Woodley from... The Divergent series,
you're a very creative guy. I'm sure it's a lot of fun. The idea now, did you use this little video recorder in your fedora for the whole or much of the film? Did we?
No. It'd be pretty hard to watch a film my head's shaking up and down. But we had some. We used green screen. In fact, many of you who've seen the film with Rosario Dawson, Sin City, you'll recognize virtual world from Sin City with the rain coming down in Times Square, and I'm kind of in that virtual world. And then I used a lot of green screen, a lot of effects, about 30,000 effects actually.
30,000 effects?
30,000 effects, yeah. And
how long is this film?
It's a real feature movie. It's real Hollywood.
It's 95
style.
Minutes? 100 minutes?
You know, it's an hour 45, you know, so it's the full length Megillah. And, you know, and a lot of it's entertaining, but then it gets to some heavy stuff. But I do uncover these lists, and you get to dive physically. You literally dive into the lists and see these things they're removing the votes of a guy named James Brown, literally, in Virginia because... a guy named James Brown voted in Georgia. So they try to keep this list hidden from me because they didn't want me to know that this is this bogus method of finding these double voters. But one thing you know that they don't find real double voters because they don't arrest them. It is a federal crime. It's a crime in every state. You go to the can for 5 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you try that. Why? Oh, you're not a double vote anymore?
No, I quit. I stopped voting often years ago. This is all, it's all pretty interesting. And then you have the president imploring people without citizenship papers to vote. You have a right to vote. Vote. So I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. We haven't seen, you know what? The GOP in Florida claimed that 181,000 what they call potential alien voters, that is people with names like Hernandez and Lopez and Rodriguez. 181,000.
Don't forget Palast.
How many did they arrest, right? Because easy, they got their addresses. It's real easy. You just go, you know, where's your papers, whatever. And there were people who literally hauled into court and told to show you're a citizen and all that. I mean, literally dozens of people hauled into court. In the end, they arrested and convicted a single alien voter. He was a Republican who was actually a citizen of Austria. An Austrian Republican. No Hitler jokes now. An Austrian Republic. But that's it. But no, you know, thousands of people swimming the Rio Grande. Where are they? I even in the film go down to the border looking for these alien voters. Joe Arpaio, who's now facing criminal charges of racial profiling. The great Joe Arpaio, Trump's buddy, he built these jails to capture all these alien voters. And they're completely empty. I went to these jails, these little outdoor jails. They're not there. And... Because you know what? The last thing an alien, illegal alien's going to do is give you their address and tell you when they're going to show up to vote. All these Spanish names in Florida were Puerto Ricans. Uh-huh. They are U.S. citizens. When they arrive in Puerto Rico, they have the right to vote. They're American citizens. And a quarter million, because Puerto Rico went bankrupt, a quarter million showed up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's part of the game. But this double voting thing, so, you know, so we literally have, like, literally, and this is a true example. Maria Cristina Hernandez votes in one state.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly she votes in another state, but as Maria Isabel Hernandez. Now, is that the same voter or is someone, the two people with two different middle names? Now, I assume that it was bogus. It was two different people. Then I meet Cristina Hernandez, and she confesses to the whole thing. But then it turns out to be just Rosario Dawson putting me on. But beyond the joke, it is really someone, Maria Hernandez, losing their votes. They uh-huh. don't, they not all, they're, you know how many suspects are on the list? People double voting, who organized this? 7.2 million people on the suspect list.
Wow.
Now, they don't remove all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They send out a postcard. You get a postcard from the state saying, confirm your address. It doesn't even say you're going to lose your vote, you're a double voter, you're a criminal, you know, you're accused of a crime. No, it just says, you know, some bogus thing. Most people throw it away. You throw
Correct.
It away.
Correct.
Or you send,
yeah.
they send you two cards, and you lose your vote.
Right.
So you're not losing your vote because you voted twice, but because you didn't send in a postcard and you have a common name. Who has common names? James Brown, Maria Hernandez, David Lee, and Sung Kim. Basically, the history of slavery, the history of the, you know, conquest, Mexican conquest. You got these common names. Chris Kobach, Charles Koch, they're unique names. And, you know, so it's a very different racial profile when you get into the common name game. So that's just one of the way that they mm-hmm. That they stole votes and stole this election. I kid you not. 50,000 people lost their vote in Michigan, mostly black folk, and they didn't count their
votes.
Vote in Michigan.
Okay, hold on. What is your take on the story that came out of Detroit that claimed, you saw mm-hmm. the story, 35% of the votes, give or take, had signs of, quote, irregularity on them. What does that mean? I never could figure that out. That story ran about 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
What it is, it's a gimmick to throw away votes. I'll tell you what the so-called irregularities are. Let me tell you. And the attorney general, you know, you supposedly had a recount. That's
uh-huh.
the rumor, right? I was in Michigan with Jill Stein. And I didn't vote. I wasn't a big Stein fan, to tell you the truth. But I went to see what was up there.
Right.
And here's what happened. Trump wins by 10,700 votes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, 75,355 ballots, 75,000 ballots were never counted. There's zero count for president. So, why?
Why not?
And you can determine irregularities.
Where did you find
ballots,
out?
The ballots were, I saw, you know, I'm an investigative reporter. Greg Palast puts on his fedora and goes, checks it out. And what they are is they're ballots that are marked funny. In other words, you go to GregPalast.com. In fact, you can, GregPalast.com, there's
hanging
story.
Hanging Chad.
It's kind of a Hanging Chad type deal. You'll see a little bit of the movie, one of the cartoons. I have many cartoons in the movie, and it's about bubbles. Bubbles. One of the things we never talk about in America is that we don't count all the votes. About 5 million votes, ballots get thrown out, disqualified for various reasons. When we have a presidential vote, about 5 million. That's the
uh-huh.
official Election Assistance Commission, Bush's commission, discovered that.
Uh-huh.
Now, how's that happen? In Detroit, you had a lot of ballots where people, you're supposed to darken in a little bubble with a black pen
mm-hmm.
or marker, right?
Yeah.
If you use a pencil or a red pen, and I talked to the people who are starting this recount, and they're not really recounting, they're counting the ballots that weren't counted in the first place. They said, look, people use red pens, they use pencils,
Who supplies these voters? They get a ballot. Who gives them the marking device? Is there a culpability there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like in California, we use the same system, OptiScan,
uh-huh.
and there is a special marker that you must use that doesn't, and the ballot is the ballot card is covered with a plastic sheath, so you literally can't make an extra mark. You cannot miss. You cannot fail to put in the bubble. That's in California. In Detroit, they have an older busted bunch of busted machines. They had 87 machines break down. The rest were not calibrated correctly. They're old, crappy. The city, the county, Wayne County, which is Detroit, they begged the state for the money to replace those machines. Because remember, the cities of Detroit and Flint, Michigan are not controlled by the voters. They're under what's called emergency management. The Republican governor, Rick Snyder, appointed these managers. So they're under control. So in other words, you have the voting in a Democratic black area controlled by a Republican white guy, or Republican black guy, it doesn't really matter. Now, they took over the water system of Flint, and you saw what happened there. The kids got poisoned.
Okay? Not the only one.
Well,
either,
they poisoned they wouldn't give money to fix the machines, so the vote got poisoned.
So these are old, ancient Diebold machines, we should call them.
No, they're scanners. They're called optic scanners. So simply, you stick the ballot in the scanner.
Okay.
It can't read the red ink. It can't read the pencil. It can't read the X mark, et cetera. So it kicks it out. Now, they were going to start going, but the human eye, which is a very good machine, can easily tell if someone's used red ink, they know that the bubble's been filled in. So they were counting these, and that was producing 2-3 votes per precinct. That would be the end of Trump's 10,000. So then the attorney general, again, a Republican, this is all partisan stuff, right? A Republican
always
says,
has been.
Oh, you can't count those precincts where there's any, like I say, irregularity.
They threw the whole precinct down?
The whole precinct's out. So, for example, if the number of voters does not equal the number of votes tallied, which is a problem.
That's a flawed precinct, then it gets disqualified.
So then they said, no, you can't recount that precinct. You can't look at the ballot. That's the exact precinct you want to look at. They also said if the seal on the machine, you know, you have to seal them so that no one can, like, stick a ballot in or pull a ballot out. If the seals are broken, you can't look at those machines. Now, wait a minute. Those are exactly the machines you want to look at. So dig this. 59% of the precincts, 59% of the precincts in Detroit were off limits to the count of these so-called empty ballots. 59%. So that was it anyway, even before a federal judge said no more. But yeah, so there's irregularities, you bet. That's why Stein was paying to have human eyeballs look at each of those ballots and see what the real count was. And they stopped it. Now look, this is not just Detroit. This happens all over the country and all the time. In my film, you have a whole thing about these bubbles. And I go to the home of these elderly people who lost their vote because they didn't properly fill in the bubble. It's my parents. Okay?
Oh, funny.
My parents. They screwed up. And my sister. And she's a lawyer. Okay? So it's not like it's, you know, it's stupid that we determine who's president by the number of bubbles. It's just...
This is it. All right. Hold on, Greg. I got to pause here on this note. Just a second. Greg Palast's new hit movie, The Best Documentary, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It will be, he hopes, the best documentary, and it may win. Good luck.
You bet.
Hold on a minute. Back in a minute. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Greg Palast about his documentary, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Bailout Ballots. Bandits, not bailout. Of course, it works either way.
I have too many alliterations. I guess hanging around Jesse Jackson. It's A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Say that fast.
Bailout bandits too. And
ballot
listen,
bandits.
And the trailer is right there at gregpalast.com. So do take a look at it and watch the film. Listen, here's a question. This is a general question. Aren't we all, no matter what political leaning, going to benefit if we go back to paper ballots?
Well, we did. I mean, that's the funny part. Michigan went to paper ballots, but then they wouldn't let anyone count. You had to count it in the machines.
That's a trick. That's a dirty trick.
Yeah, that's a trick. That's the bait. So Wisconsin went to paper ballots, right? So Okay, well, then that's good, so you can actually see the ballots. So
yeah.
Then Jill Stein wrote a check for $3 million. She raised all that money, right? Gave the state $3
million.
$7
million, yeah.
She raised $3 million for that, and $7 million altogether, right? Just, she gave Wisconsin $3 million. So that's to pay for, you know, human beings counting the ballots, the paper ballots. And then they said, well, if it's county, and so the big loss of ballots was in Milwaukee. And they said, well, Milwaukee County decides it's going to recount the ballots by taking the same ballots and putting them through the same machines, not
scanners.
Looking at it by hand. Well, what was the same scanners. Well, that's like making Stein pay
to bet
on an instant replay on TV,
yeah.
And you get the same result.
No,
you know?
You do it manually, you do it by human eyes, or you don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they literally put it back through the machines. It was completely nuts. And so so in other words, people say, yeah, we would like paper ballots, and then they figure out new games and tricks.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you can't look at those ballots.
To run through corrupt electronics, I understand. I totally understand.
You know, it's like, I'm not worried about the Russians hacking this stuff. You know, I think that's all like, fantasy island. I mean, maybe you disagree, but...
I totally agree. No, it's a total misdirection. It's crap.
Yeah, it's talk about, it's really, come on now.
I mean, how many Vladimir Putins voted? Come on, let's get serious now.
I know, this is like, yeah, I know. So, and it's embarrassing to hear the President of the United States talk about that stuff and then say completely falsely all the ballots are counted because they are never counted. I mean, even the most perfect election in the world, you can't count all the ballots. You have some ballots that are just unreadable, spoiled, ripped in half.
Yeah,
people write Mickey Mouse on top of them. I mean, so it's never true that all the ballots are counted. But in the U.S., we really have an epidemic of uncounted ballots.
Interesting.
We have about 5 million officially, and about half of those are what we call provisional ballots. I don't know how many people have gotten those, but that's how Hillary Clinton won California with the provisional ballot game. You go in and your name's not on the ballot or some other reason, cockamamie reason they give you. They say, well, you can't use a regular ballot, but here, you get this nice ballot called provisional ballot. And you fill it out and you put it inside an envelope and then you fill out the envelope. And we'll count it later. No, they won't. And the nice lady behind the counter doesn't even know that they're not going to count it. And we saw, for example, in California, if you were an independent voter, you had the right to vote in the Democratic primary. Now, the Democratic machine knew that this was going to lead to disaster. And, Sanders, I know him. He's a nice guy. He's naive. He just kind of fell off the watermelon truck. He's from...
I got a question about Bernie when we get past this. Go ahead.
What happened? You had literally hundreds of thousands of independent voters who asked for the Democratic Party ballot, and they got the Democratic Party ballot. And guess what? Your vote gets thrown out because an independent voter cannot vote on a Democratic Party ballot. It has to say crossover Democratic Party ballot. Just the county of Los Angeles alone had 66,000 votes that were going to be thrown in the garbage, literally, because they were independents who had cast Democratic Party ballots when they should have said crossover Democratic Party ballots. You love this little game that's being played?
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, both parties do this. And they're going to throw those out. Now, L.A., because someone complained, decided we're going to count those. See, it's kind of arbitrary whether they count this. But in the rest of the state, literally hundreds of thousands of ballots were rejected. They call them spoiled.
Wow,
okay?
We got a long
rejected
way to go to
ballots.
Get this straightened out. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. You know what? It ain't rocket science, man. Counting all the votes. You put on a piece of paper. You read the results, and you count the votes.
Yeah.
You have to play games. You don't say, "Oh, it didn't say crossover on it," or it.
I couldn't agree more.
We might want to try democracy next time.
Oh, it's an unusual theme, but it might play. You never know.
God. You and me will do it.
All right. Listen. We got, 15 minutes left. What else do you want to talk about here?
Let's mention
Greg's film one more time.
Landlord.
The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. You can watch the trailer right now. You can view the film and stream it and have fun. Okay, go ahead.
So, look, Trump only plays a billionaire on TV. doesn't have billions. Hillary's probably worth more. Her stated net worth is $125 million. And that's probably more than Trump, because his net worth is nothing, because he's hocked up to his jockeys, right? But who's behind him? You have the Mercer family. You have, and in my film, I introduce you to the guys who are behind him and the GOP. And these are, by the way, not even necessarily Republicans. You know, like guys like Paul the Vulture Singer. He's known as the Vulture. Okay, you don't get the name the Vulture because of your nice business practices. This ain't Apple Computer, man. This guy is called the Vulture because of the way he makes his money, which is preying on on injured nations, injured industries, injured people, and he goes after them. He's an old-fashioned, like, repo man, except on an international scale. He's worth about $7 billion.
Wow.
And so, like, for example, here's one of his hits. And we show it as a cartoon in the film with the Vulture. During the bailout, the auto bailout, right?
Yeah.
You know, Obama saved the auto industry. Well, except that there's a lot of unemployed auto workers who then voted for Trump, by the way. He did it to himself. But there's a segment, GM had spun off, like split off its own parts division, you know, the old Delco battery division.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it a company called Delphi. Now, when the auto bailout, when they finally said, okay, let's do the auto, and Delphi went bankrupt, General Motors went bankrupt. So then first Bush and then Obama says, well, okay, we're going to put up $80 billion to save the industry. So then General Motors says, okay, well, now we need to buy back our parts division to bring back our company back to life. So the companies was selling for 67 cents a share in bankruptcy. So GM said, okay, we'll give the stockholders like $2 a share. They'll make a ton, but we'll be one company. And then it turns out the Vulture had secretly grabbed a hold of Delphi. He said, here's what I want. I want $12 billion. I want $12 billion for this bankrupt company, Delphi, or I'm going to cut off GM's parts. He had GM by the ball bearings. The autos
are... That's how they do it, huh? Interesting.
Yeah. So the autos are... turned to the chairman GM of this guy, Wegener, at the time and said, so how long can you go without the Delphi parts? He says, I don't know, 24 hours, 48 hours? They literally, because the Delphi plants are even sometimes inside the GM plants. You know, it was like, it was a fiction that it was two companies. They couldn't last 2 days. Remember, they're already bankrupt. So this means liquidation, losing, you know, a 500,000 jobs like in 24 hours. So the auto czar said, this is extortion. And the Vultures... you know, the Vulture just said, you know, just grinned. And Obama wrote the check. No one knows it. You know, very few people know that story because Obama wants to talk about the great success of the auto bailout. He paid ransom to this Vulture, $12 billion. The guy personally pocketed $1 billion, and his partner, a guy named JP, known as the Foreclosure King, personally pocketed $2 billion. Now, his name is Paulson. Okay, not Hank Paulson, not the guy that was Goldman Sachs and Treasury and all.
Yeah.
There's a different guy completely, John Paulson.
Huh.
He's the guy who cut a deal with Goldman Sachs secretly to crash the mortgage market in 2008. Now, the mortgage market didn't just, you know, oh, there's a bubble and it popped. No, it's not like some natural thing that happened. There's no bubble.
Nothing happens by chance, folks.
No chance. Forget the bubble theory. What happened was, there were all these subprime junkie mortgages. And this if you saw The Big Short, you saw kind of what I call the coward's version of the story, because it was all about the little guys on the side, The Big Short. Mm-hmm. But this is the guy who was at the center of this, JP, the Foreclosure King. So what he did was he packaged up mortgage securities, and he said he was buying them. And he asked and he got European banks like Royal Bank of Scotland and a bunch of other banks to go in with him to buy these mortgages. Mortgage market is going to turn around, and these things are going to be worth a fortune, these mortgages. Instead, he took out insurance on these mortgages, and he was secretly the beneficiary. He picked out these things that he knew would crash. He lied, said he was buying it. In fact, he was shorting this stuff. And
so he named himself in a roundabout way and crashed it all.
And so then... when the market started falling, He personally, I don't mean his company. His company collected $14 billion. He personally collected in a single year $5 billion. Personally. More than any human being has made since the Pharaoh in a single year. $5 billion by crashing the mortgage market. And by the way, his assistant who translated stuff into French got nailed by the SEC. Goldman Sachs had to pay a $500 million fine. He's a mastermind. He didn't pay a dime. Except he got a tax break called carried interest. Now we're getting to the billionaire stuff. Suddenly, Donald Trump, when he's in the primary, is talking about these terrible people who are these Wall Street speculators. And how dare they get tax breaks, this thing called carried interest. How dare they? You know, they're just gamblers. They get a tax break and they're no good. Because I know Trump really hates these guys personally, right? Suddenly, they're all backing him. He runs out of money for the general election. He doesn't have that much money. He could only support the primary. They're the secret backers, including JP the foreclosure king. It's like, and you know,
how'd you find all this out, Greg?
Oh, because I'm an investigative reporter.
Yeah, I know you're fierce. I know.
And not only that, but I go and confront JP the foreclosure king
in the film.
They had a secret breakfast at the basement of the not the basement the ground floor of the stock exchange.
Huh.
They have a fancy restaurant in the exchange called Cipriani, and it has security and all this stuff. And I still got through. It was actually one of the dumbest tricks I'd ever pulled. All the security guys are saying, "What are you doing in here?" And I've got a cameraman. I say, "We're filming the wedding." "Oh, okay, go right ahead." "What wedding?" It's kind of scary because
you're amazing. You've done
so many
things.
Yeah, but what if I was like a bad guy looking to really create trouble?
Yeah,
but anyway, so I got
that's
in.
The point. Yep.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so
Barry,
I got in.
Barry Lee Bush, the service elevator scam, right? Remember that? Remember that one?
It's like, if you're good at this. Yeah. That's how I get these lists and stuff. I do it all legally, by the way, but kind of on the edge. But, I don't hack or any of that stuff because, that's pure felony crime. And I don't wiretap phones. But I have some good tricks after my years of work. I used to be an investigator before as an investigative reporter. And so I learned
a lot
of
stuff. You
were a PI. Yep.
Wow.
And,
you look like a PI.
Yeah, I mean,
you look like a Philip Marlowe character.
Yeah, I mean, I look more like Columbo.
All right,
and that was the guy who
you're not
I learned
wrinkled.
Everything
you're
from
not
Columbo.
Wrinkled enough. No,
you'd be surprised. You haven't seen me in a while. I'm pretty wrinkled and rumpled, and so JP. So what does he do? Okay, Trump says I'm going to close this loophole. He and Bernie Sanders. Then Hillary says, "Well, me too. We're going to close this speculators billionaires loophole called." Carried interest. Now, here's the math. The top income tax rate these guys have to pay is 38%.
Right.
Carried interest cut that to 23%. Now, that was worth about $1 billion to the to the vulture and about $1 billion to JP.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Trump says he's going to get rid of it. But then after they started giving him money, he whispers out he's going to replace it with a different loophole, which will include it. He didn't get the carried interest because he's in real estate. It doesn't apply to him. So he's now widening the loophole, so it'll include him, and he's cutting the rate down from 23% under carried interest to 15%.
Wow.
So he's giving them a bigger break.
What a bonanza.
And that's after they funded his campaign. Look, Trump himself said it. Billionaires don't give you money unless they expect it back like 100-fold. He says, that's why I gave, because they asked him, why'd you give Hillary money? Why'd you give all these people money, these Democrats?
Well, isn't
money?
That what's okay?
It's an investment. I'm buying these people.
Isn't that the
them.
Same thing as Qatar or Qatar or Gutter dumping money into the Clinton Foundation? They're buying stuff.
Oh, my God. I've done some investigation. If you read the book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, that goes with the film, I've got an updated version of the bestseller. So there's a book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. There's a whole thing on Clinton and the Manchurian candidate and all her money. And let me tell you, there's like, for example, some of the stuff that was at the Clinton Foundation, I was in Kazakhstan and I saw, first of all, you have a brutal regime. Example, there was a journalist who spoke out against the Nazarbayev, the dictator.
Yeah.
They said he committed suicide. He must have really wanted to kill himself because he put two bullets in his head.
That's a real indicator, yeah.
Yeah, so Hillary Clinton protects the president dictator of Kazakhstan from being charged by with bribery in the United States. He took $160 million from U.S. oil companies. Okay. She protects him from the charges. Right after that, okay, right after that, Clinton's best buddy, okay, gets a exclusive uranium mining deal in Kazakhstan. Bill Clinton gets to make a speech to the president of dictator of Kazakhstan, gets $500,000 for a single speech.
Worth every penny of it. You know, it's interesting.
Every penny. And then on top of it, so then the guy who got the exclusive uranium mining contract then gives $34 million to the Clinton Foundation because Nazarbayev was prohibited from giving money to the Clinton Foundation. One, he's a criminal, and two, because they had that deal, no foreign money. So instead, he gives the uranium to Clinton's buddy. Uh-huh. Clinton's buddy drops $34 million into the foundation. Now, I don't want to say there's a connection.
No, God. Be careful.
Hillary, they do fine work. After all, they took a poor... poor street urchin like Sidney Blumenthal and put him on the payroll. What did he do for the world, Sidney Blumenthal? Okay,
famous...
The Clintons are a crime wave unto themselves. Yeah. Believe me, when I say that Trump shoplifted this election, don't get the idea that somehow I would be thrilled to have Hillary as president. This is about counting the votes. But, you know, and even the idea that the result of counting the votes would be Hillary Clinton does not exactly make my heart go pity pat.
Here's another one.
You got to read the book and see the film.
Yeah. Here's another cringy one. Then I got to try and get this question about Bernie in. For those who collect stats about how many billionaires will be represented in Donald Trump's administration, prepare to make some extra room because, according to Bloomberg, David McCormick, president of the world's biggest hedge fund, Bridgewater, is the front runner for the post of deputy defense secretary, according to three people familiar with the presidential transition goings on. The biggest hedge fund, honcho, deputy secretary of defense. Doesn't work for me.
The Mercer family, which is running the whole ball game, and one of the Mercers is becoming deputy commerce secretary. They're multi-billionaires from Renaissance partners, more hedge funds. I mean, here's a guy who literally peed all over the hedge funds, Donald Trump. Said these guys don't create a job. They just they gamble. They get tax breaks. They just destroy the economy. And they're vultures. And he hated Paul Singer, for example. And now he just took $2 million from Paul Singer for his inauguration. You know, it's like, and oh, by the way, if you wonder what is Paul Singer's role, he's the guy who's the vulture in his nest. He hatched a guy named Paul Ryan. He owns Paul Ryan.
Well, we call him Rat Ryan around here.
Rat Ryan. Well, he's a little. He's a little vulturette. He's a little fledgling vulture. He's under Singer's complete control. Yeah. And Singer, when Ryan was attacking Trump, that was at the request of Paul Singer.
Oh, really? That makes sense now.
Singer,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes
so
sense.
Singer was afraid that Trump. He didn't care about whether Trump would be president. He was just afraid he's going to lead the Republican Party over a cliff. Remember, that was the kind of general thinking. And so he wanted Ryan to kind of,
Well, very interesting. See, this is what Greg Palast does best. He's a real investigative journalist. That's very interesting.
And I'm not on one side or the other. That's the important thing. If you get on one side or the other, you're dead meat. Then you're not a journalist. Then you're
No, you're a shill. You've always been very fair about that. This is, and I don't like this McCormick crap. Come on. Biggest hedge fund manager, secretary, assistant secretary, or deputy secretary of defense. Give me a break. Here, Bernie. What's the inside scoop? Did you ever find out about that rather enormous gash that he suffered on his cheekbone below his right eye, to the right of his right eye, high on his cheekbone the night before he announced his support for Hillary? What was that about? It looked like somebody hit him with a class ring.
Convention.
Yeah, it looked like somebody punched him with a class ring.
I've heard 15 different things, but I never got any information that someone threw a punch. He didn't have to. Because you know what? He's a good Stalinist in one way. He knows what the party line is. He knew he was going to have to go to the mat. Hillary insisted on not only...
That was a big hole in his face, though, let me tell you.
Yeah. I mean, it was capitulation. It was They beat him up in many other ways. They didn't have to. I don't think they had to use a fist, but I mean, they really made him, you know, bow down.
If the system was remotely more fair, could he have won?
Don't know. He won California. That's for sure. Does that mean that he would have won the nomination? I think what would happen if they let him officially win California as he did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. You know, there's still a million. 1.4 million votes still not counted today.
Yeah, I know.
And in California, if they let him win, I think that the party would have panicked and said, told Hillary, it's not your night, champ, and release your votes to Joe Biden or something like that. They would have probably thrown her over the
Joe Biden. Boy, does he love little girls. Ugh. That guy is
I'm not going there. I
hear you.
Not going there.
Greg, we're just about out of time. Greg Palast, new hit movie. You can see it. You can stream it. You can go look at the trailer right now if you want the best democracy money can buy. A Tale of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to go check it out later on.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you again, Greg.
Years.
Yeah, no, we won't wait that long. Thank you.
Let's try to do this a little more often. We have a lot of fun.
You sound
okay,
like
thanks a lot.
You're on top.
Be
of
the
you.
Man.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Greg Palast, and he does. He gets into things like nobody else I know. He's been at it for a long time. You can imagine that little micro video camera on his fedora. That'd be fun. I'm gonna go check the video out for sure. And that means hour number two is up already. Is that right? Wow. Okay, coming up next, Yoshi will be here and Dana Durnford. Don't miss this, all right? And Yoshi has a new article, by the way, up. You can check it out. It's in the Pizzagate file. It's also under his columnist box. He is a superb writer. This guy is truly world class. We'll be back with Yoshi and Dana in just a couple minutes.